I too, I'll say before I start, I appreciate everyone that's come this way tonight, all of our visitors. Certainly glad to have you, and just ask everybody, visitors, members, all, everybody here, just follow the Lord and do what the Lord would have them to do. I'm going to take a reading lesson tonight out of the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers. This may seem like an odd subject or odd lesson that we have for us tonight, but nevertheless, this is what the Lord has given me. So we're going to try with the Lord's help to present it. The 17th chapter of the book of Numbers. We've been talking a little bit about sometime different thing been mentioned. I mentioned the other night about Aaron's rod and the Ark of the Covenant and all the different things. And we're going to look a little bit tonight with the Lord's help about that. Just a little bit about maybe Aaron, his rod, and I don't know, just whatever the Lord will bring us. In the 17th chapter, starting in the first verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write upon Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And I will come and pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quiet take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall we be consumed with dying." In this reading here tonight, I want to look at a few things that is brought out here in this. First of all, we see where there's a point that I want to make out of this that I guess if I had one tonight, or a thought or a topic, the Lord does the choosing. The Lord does the choosing. We think about as far as now, when you speak of Aaron here, you can read on through in this 18th chapter, and he made Aaron the priest and his family the priest over the tabernacle that all the people of Israel would bring in their offerings, and they had full control of everything that was holy and hallowed in the tabernacle that they were to do that. Aaron and his family. But when we look about this in our thoughts tonight, we know that within the ranks of our church that we believe that somebody that is a preacher is to be called, that they're to be called of God, that they are and I believe with all my heart that that's the only way that it'll work. We live in a world today that there are people that they go to college, they choose it as a profession in life, they go to college to make a living of it, just like an everyday-to-day job. But I believe that God's Word teaching here from the beginning that it was a choice of God and God only who He wanted in charge of His tabernacle. I believe it was direction from God here that was given, and there was reasons here. It says that and it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make a cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And I think he was speaking of Moses here, where they was murmuring against him, and they was going against him and trying to, discredit him and what he was trying to tell the people of Israel, how he was trying to direct them. It's important that we know and understand that God uses different ways and different things to give a credit a man of God. We believe that when somebody has been saved by God's grace, the Bible teaches us that once they've been truly saved by God's grace, that they will bear fruit. The Bible teaches us those that have been saved by God's grace will bear fruit, and that and basically what that is meaning is that they will bring forth in their life a show of good things, of godliness, of righteousness in the living and the life that they do before this world and before the people of God. We can see many times in our services, we can see proof of that in testimonies. When the people of God stand up and they just pour out their heart, they thank the Lord for their soul's salvation, and they tell of that time and the place where the Lord saved their soul, and they tell how the Lord is working in their lives, how the Lord is blessing them. We can see that a person that has been saved by God's grace, and that the fruit that they're bearing is truly righteous and holy fruit, because our spirit bears witness with their testimony. Our spirit bears witness with them in what they say. There's been a lot of things said about this week about salvation and different things, about just how the Lord deals with different people and what happens to them when the Lord saves their soul. Some people saw a light, some people saw a vision, you know. Some people the Lord spoke to audibly. All the different things, but the point of it is that God chose them individually when they had faith and trust in Him. He saved their soul and He chose them individually. And I believe it works the very same way for a man of God that has been called to preach His Word. I believe it's an individual calling. I can speak from personal experience. I can take you to the place where the Lord got a hold of me. I can take you to the place in my over our other house in the living room there where I was dealing, where the Lord was dealing with me. I was under conviction about not preaching His Word, about not doing what I was supposed to do, how He took me out on the floor, basically put me on my face, and He gave me a choice. And I'm not kidding. He gave me a choice that I could either stand and try to preach His Word, that if I was not He didn't have a purpose for me anymore. If I wasn't willing to do what he called me to do. And I know that I failed him many times and I've been set back many times. But I have been blessed beyond measure, beyond anything that I will ever deserve, by standing. I can still remember the first time that I stood. It was, oh my goodness, it was awful. It hadn't got a whole lot better. But I mean, it was awful. I just felt bad for, there was a congregation of people that came there to support me and to lift me up and pray for me. And I just made the biggest mess in the world. But I had to take that step. I had to step out there and I had to follow my calling and do what God called me to do. Aaron here, we can see how the Lord put a calling on him and his family. We can see here in our reading how that the Lord calls his people. We can turn back over in the book of Exodus and we can see where God called Moses and he spoke to him out of that burning bush. That's been mentioned this week. But he spoke to him out of that burning bush. And it says here in this third chapter in the ninth verse, it says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto the Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth that my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto the Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" I just relate to that so well. I was like, when the Lord called me, I said, "Oh Lord, anybody but me. Why me, oh Lord? Why me?" Because of God, he chooses the weak to confound the strong. He chooses them. And I feel I'm the weakest. He said, "Who am I that I should go unto the Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me unto you,' and they shall say unto me, 'What is his name?' And what shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus saith thou, say unto the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me unto you.'" We come to find out that when I stand and I try to do what God has me to do, that he's with me. That he directs me. He directs my heart. You know, there's a world of people out here today, and there's a bunch that's standing behind pulpits and I guess claim to be churches. All they have is a college education of the Bible. It takes a calling. It takes a calling upon your life to burden your heart to make you want to do that. I've always said I'd never wish it upon anybody, but if that person that's ever been, anybody that's ever been called, if they will just follow and serve God and let him be in the lead the whole way, that it will be the greatest blessing of their life. And I know that to be a fact. It's the greatest blessing upon my life. I love my wife and I love my son. I love being here at this church and all you brothers and sisters. But without the Lord, there's none of us can do anything. Without the direction of the Lord, we can't do anything. I can stand up here and preach all night long, but if God is not in my words, if the Spirit of the Lord is not in my words, it'll never have any effect. It'll never pierce the hearts. Just like Brother Swindle said, it'll never pierce down into the heart. It takes the power and the Spirit of God. I've tried to stand up here before without the Lord. I've been in situations where I had to stop and get out and pray, where I had to call on God to ask Him to help me just to get through it. He did. I failed Him miserably, but He's never failed me one single solitary time. He's always been there, and He's always lifted me up, and He's always given me everything that I ever needed. And I pray for as long as the Lord allows and blesses me to be here in this body, that He will bless me with words, that He'll bless me with the knowledge, that He'll bless me with the instruction and the guidance this church needs, that it can grow and prosper, that it can be closer to the Lord when I leave this place than it was when I got here. I think that's the way it's supposed to work. There's a part of it that we all have to play, that the church has to play. You know, I read over here the reason that rod budded and that Aaron was chosen was because of the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is what made the difference in that whole situation. He came and he done everything. We need that presence of God in our lives and in our homes and in our churches, that we will produce fruit. We need that. We got to have that in our lives, in our churches. When we think about just exactly what's at stake, when we and God's people think about what's at stake, there's souls out there that's dying and going to hell. They're dying daily in this world, in these neighborhoods that we're around, and in the places where we drive through. There's people dying daily, and their souls are cast into an everlasting furnace. I believe that when God saved our soul, He chose each and every one of us into His service and to His ministry. Not as a preacher, but as a servant of God. I read that verse in this morning about Jesus, that when he came here to this earth, He came not to be served, but to serve. He came and set Himself as an example of what we should be and how we should be. And that when the Lord saved our soul, we were, each and every one of us, given something in our heart. There was something that budded inside of us that we would be able to produce a holy and righteous fruit that would be visible in the world, in the lives and the families that we live in, that it would stop the murmuring, that it would be there to show a difference to the world. I know there's been a testimony this week that when they went to church before they got saved, you know, they didn't know exactly what was going on, but they could see that there was something different in those people. We can't see salvation in somebody. We can see the fruits of it, though. We can see the works. We can see the evidence of it. Sometimes we see the joy of it displayed when people get happy. Sometimes we see the sadness of it when the Lord chastens them and convicts them of their sins. But there's definitely, certainly, one thing that is for sure. The Bible refers over in the New Testament that this body is a tabernacle. This body is a tabernacle. And that we're to take care of our tabernacle, basically. The only way that your body can literally be a tabernacle is if it is filled with the Lord. See, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the place where the people of God could come to Him and speak with Him, because that's where He resided. He resided in the tabernacle. Today, you and I have been blessed with a tabernacle that we can, that God resides with us, doesn't He? He resides in our hearts for those of us that have been saved. And you know, if there's anybody that's here tonight and don't know or understand just exactly what I'm talking about, this tabernacle that I'm speaking of, this body, this flesh, the Holy Spirit of God has to be inside of you. It's salvation is beyond mind, it's beyond works, it's beyond baptism, it's beyond any type of thing that we can do within ourselves. It's only by grace through faith that we have that. It's by grace through faith. It's through repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that the Holy Spirit will ever indwell the tabernacle of anybody's body. Once that happens, you can know that you have been chosen by God personally. Not chosen to preach. Or I don't know, maybe the Lord, that's two different experiences. Me, I got saved when I was a boy, and I got called to preach when I was older. When the Lord called me to preach, I turned around and run just as hard as I could into the world. It scared me to death. I didn't want nothing to do with it. And then when the Lord got, I guess the best way to say it, when the Lord got rough enough, when the Lord said, time's up, it's time for you to do what I want you to do, I didn't have a choice. And I believe that's the way it is on the calling of God's men that preach the Word. I think that calling is something that you don't have a choice. You can run from it and you can hide, but it's going to find you wherever you go. That burden's not going to leave you. It's not going to dissipate. It's going to stay with you and stay with you and stay with you. Because there's something special about a calling. A calling of God. He has a purpose and a place for you. And He puts you there. God gave this calling to Moses, and He wanted him to go out there, and he's like, you know, I can't do this. I just can't do this. You can look over in this fourth chapter, and when after the Lord got through talking to him and telling him about to go to his people and tell them about it, Moses said and answered, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it to the ground." And he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take up the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. See, it's an important thing that the people that we preach to know and understand of the true calling. It's an important thing to the people of God that they've got confidence that the person that's standing behind the bookboard is truly a God-called man, that he's been set aside for the work. Because you know that it can't happen any other way. I'm blessed to be a part of a people that has an understanding that God calls men to preach. And that is one of the requirements or one of the needs for somebody that is to stand behind this book board, because the Lord has to be a part of it. The Lord has to be a part of it if souls are going to be saved, if people are going to grow. People have to have confidence. And when there's murmuring and there's things that goes on in the church, and when there's dissension and tumults and all these things, different things arises in the church, and they lose confidence in the preacher, it puts doubts in the hearts and the minds of the sinners and the people that are around, and the devil's right in the middle of it. He's separating, he's splitting the church up. I've seen it so many times and time and time again. I need your support. I need your prayers. I need your backing. Every God-called man that stands behind the book board, they need your support. They need your backing. They need your prayers. We all do. Because it's an important thing. I was told when I told my call to preach, somebody told me that it's the most important job in the world. Bar none, the president or anything else in the world, there's nothing more important than being a God-called preacher. And I thought on that, and I considered that for a long time. And I finally come to the understanding that that's right. That's right. It is that important. It's that special of a calling. And I'm not worthy of it. Moses was, he said over in the 10th verse, he said, this 4th chapter, he said, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord? And the Lord said unto him, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Moses didn't want to do it, did he? It says here in this next verse that the anger of the Lord was kindled, and this is where Aaron came into play. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth. Thou shalt be unto him instead of a God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So here we see that God was, he was angry at him, but he allowed him to use Aaron. God spoke to Moses, and Moses relayed it to Aaron, and Aaron was to relay it to the people, because, as it's here, he was a more eloquent speaker. He was a better speaker. He's more plain. And the Lord, over here in the 27th verse, it says, And the Lord said unto Aaron, Go in the wilderness and meet Moses. You know, we've, as a church, in the Great Commission that's been preached on here several times, one of the main things that is said in that Great Commission is go. Go. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach, make disciples. Followers of Christ, make followers of Christ. We've been given a responsibility. That was given to the church. That wasn't just given to the preacher. So many times people want to just put all the pressure on the preacher. Preacher, you need to come in ready for the revival. You need to preach a good sermon. You need to do this, do that. We've got all souls saved. Responsibility lies on more than just a preacher. You've been saved by God's grace. You've got a calling upon your life too. You have been called to be a servant unto Christ and to go into all the world and teach all nations. Teach them what you know about the Lord. Tell them the truth about Jesus that they can be saved. It is a great responsibility to stand here. There's very, very, very few times that I've ever stood behind this book board that I wasn't scared. That I wasn't scared. That I was going to let my Lord down. That I was going to let you down. So many times. So many times I'll go home and I'll just fall on my face before the Lord. Ask the Lord to clean up my mess. Straighten up the thought and the hearts and the minds of the people. Put the fear of God in those that are lost. Convict those that are lost. Use those feeble words of mine that I'm so ineloquent to speak and so unable in my ability to remember and to quote scriptures and do like I want to do. But I know who's in control. I know who's the one that does anything and everything that's good. And I just turn it over to Him and I rely on Him 100%. And He's never let me down. He's never let me down. He's blessed me. There's one thing about it. I know every preacher that's ever been called there, every one of us is different. Brother Swindle, Brother Sis that's been here preaching this week, certainly enjoyed. They're so much better. I'm not ashamed to say that. They're better preachers than I am. They're smarter than I am. I have no problem with that. I don't have a jealousy in the pulpit when it comes to the truth of God's Word, because it's God's Word. It's not mine. It's not Brother Swindle's. It's not Brother Sist. It's God's Word, and it needs to go out that it might find whoever's heart and break that heart and convict them that they can be saved. This is God's Word. I'm just a mouthpiece. Brother Swindle's just a mouthpiece. Brother Sist is just a mouthpiece. Some of us is better than others. Some of them's better than others at it. I'm thankful for that. But you know, the Lord knew me when He called me. He knew my abilities when He called me. And He knew that He could use me in some way. And that I rely on that. Because I know my own inabilities. But I rely on my Lord. That's all I can rely on. Because I know there's no power within me that would have any effect. There's nothing that is within me that would make you want to be a better Christian or to live a holier life. But the power of God can. He can do that. He can use somebody feeble as me in my delivery, and He can change your life if you'll listen to it, because I believe the Lord uses those that He has called. He used them. He's used them from the beginning all the way through. He used those men. God spoke to those men. He gave them direction. And those men told the people what to do. And every time they did what they were supposed to do, things went well. Things went good. But every time that they didn't do what God had directed them to do, it went bad, didn't it? There's evidence and proof and proof and proof all through the history of time. And it goes that way for anybody. Anybody that doesn't listen to the Lord and the direction of the Lord that He gives them. Anybody that takes for granted the preaching of God's Word or the office of the preacher. Those people that take for granted the office of the preacher. I believe there's so much of that has went on and time passed, and these things, they catch up with our churches. I believe that's the reason our churches are in a lot of troubles and situations and sorrows and so small crowds right now. Choose not to listen to the direction of God through the man of God. They want to make their own decisions and do what they want to do. The people of Israel walked through the desert 40 years and perished because they murmured and complained and they didn't listen to the direction of the man of God that was giving them the directions. They perished. I believe that every church that does that will perish. It will. These churches will dry up. These churches will dry up. It's important. This is a very, very it's important thing, brothers and sisters. I'm not standing up here tonight trying to say that I'm anything better than anybody. But I do want you to know I try my very best to find out what the Lord wants me to say. And I try to present it in the best way that I know how. That it might have an effect in your life and it might change your life. I want your lives to be blessed. You don't know how much I want this church to be blessed. That I want to see souls saved and I want to see lives changed. And I want to see people grow closer to the Lord. And I've seen that some since I've been here. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. Seen a lot of good things since I've been here that have blessed me. The Apostle Paul charged Timothy in the 4th chapter of the book. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of and His kingdom. For any of you preacher brethren that are here tonight, preach the Word. Preach the truth of God's Word that He has given you. Sow those seed. Preach the truth. Be instant, in season and out of season. Always be ready. Always be ready to tell this world about the Savior that saved your soul. Exhort. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Reproving. It's a hard thing to do, but it's a necessary thing. Rebuke. Hard thing to do, but it's a necessary thing. Exhort. Lift them up. I want to lift you up tonight. I feel blessed to be here. I believe the Lord blessed me when He sent me here. I'm thankful that He sent me here that I could serve God with you in this particular body that He set apart. I love you and I respect you. says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For there's going to be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they, after their own lust, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I believe we're seeing the evidence of that very thing today. I believe that we have seen many, many people leave because they didn't want to endure sound doctrine. They didn't want to live a sanctified, holy life. They wanted to live a worldly life. And when they come in here and the preacher stands up and preaches, or wherever church it might be, when the preacher stands up and preaches the truth and the doctrine of God's Word about sin and all those different things, and the Holy Spirit of God, if they've been saved, gets a hold of them and shakes them up, and they don't like it. It just don't fit well with their life system. So they go somewhere and they find somewhere that's going to tickle their ears. That they're not going to be reproved. They're not going to be rebuked. Nothing's going to discomfort them in any way. And everything's just all good and fine. I believe we are in the presence of that very, very verse today. In this world that we live in. But it's important that this body hold to the truth. That it holds to the truth, that it don't bend it, that it don't go around or walk around or tiptoe around or hide, but it goes right through the middle of it and it brings it out, because the truth is what exposes sin. The truth is what exposes sin. If it exposes it in me, if it exposes in you, well, good. Repent, get behind you, move on, and work for the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like I said, I knew this was going to be a different sermon for the night. But I know that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. I know that's what He wanted me to bring out. And I pray that, that He'll just take this message tonight and that He'll just put it in here somewhere that you can look back on and think about. And that when you do that, that you pray for the preachers. That you pray for us. That we can just say something and do something that will give God honor and glory. You know, the first thing I said in this, we're to give God honor and glory. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. We've got to keep pointing souls to Jesus. Keep pointing them to Christ. Keep telling them the truth. Keep telling them. Keep calling sin, sin. We've got to keep calling sin, sin. Because that's what convicts. That's what reproves. That's what does the work on somebody's heart. Will straighten them out. It'll help them out. It might not feel good, but it'll straighten them out and it'll help them out. And we all need it. We need it all the time. We may not think we do. Some of us may think that we've been saved by God's grace and we're missionary Baptists and we're going to heaven one of these days, and we claim a holier thou, righteous attitude. But it's been brought forth very, very clear this week. All have sinned and come short. Come short. We fall way short of the glory of God. And that we're all to strive for that. One more verse that I'm gonna read that I also, as a thought, when we started this effort. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We'll reap the fruits, the rewards. I know many people get tired through an effort meeting, through a week, and we got after tonight, if the church so chooses to close this effort, we got a week to rest and come back and serve them next week. And, you know, maybe revival will start. Y'all know how I feel. I want us to come in with the hearts every time that we walk in the doors that there's going to be lost souls saved. See, that's the burden that he puts on the preacher. That there's going to be somebody getting a little closer to the Lord that day. That there's going to be a sinner that his heart is convicted and he falls down his face before God and he calls out to him and he asks for mercy and asks him to save his soul. That's our rewards. That's where I feel rewarded when we see that. When that young girl got saved the other night, that was a reward, wasn't it? It was a reward for all of us for laboring. He saved her soul individually, but we reap reward from it. We got a blessing from it. We got joy from it. I don't know about y'all, but I was surely energized from it. I can be full of energy when I'm working for the Lord. It seems like when I get home, I'm just wore out. It just takes it all out of me. But I don't ever consider that or think about that when I'm working for the Lord. I've seen it happen that way many times. That's my message tonight. Please, I pray, just think about these things. Consider these things tonight. It wasn't a message for the lost. It was a message probably more so for the church than anything. For me. For us preachers that's here tonight. You know? But I thank you all for listening. Would it be a thought or a word on anyone's heart tonight? Something on someone else's heart tonight. Preaching God's Word can change lives. If we let it in there, let it stew around in there, and we think on it, and we sleep with it, and we get up with it in the morning, and we take it to work with us, and we come home with it, it can change your lives. It can change you. I know it can. Something on someone else's heart.
Preaches sermons that convicted me. And that man that said, I'm not going to do it, I would be lost today. And I'm thankful for every man that's called of God that will get up and do what the Lord wants him to do. And you have been an inspiration and a blessing to me. And you have changed my life. When you started the Daily Bible chronological reading, I started that. I read Habakkuk today. But just knowing that I needed to read my Bible every day, and I'm ashamed to say I've never done that before, has made a difference in my life.
Yes.
And that's because of you. You encourage us to do that. And I thank you for that. More than anything, I thank the Lord. I learned so much about His promises to us, and it's just overwhelming. The promises He has made to us that we'll just live for Him and serve Him.
Amen. Amen.
And I want you to know that I appreciate you. I love
you. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. Something on someone else's heart. If not, I want us to have a Christian handshake tonight. Shake Brother Swindle's hand, maybe hug his neck. Whatever you want to do. Thank him for being here with us this week. I wish Brother Jeremy could be here tonight. Because I so enjoyed both of them this week. And just pray that Lord... Y'all pray for Brother Jeremy tonight. He started another revival tonight. He's in Lula tonight. He's at Lula tonight. He started helping in another revival. He's got about, I think, 4 or 5 revivals he's preaching this year. So pray for him that the Lord just use him. That's all we really want. Lord, just use us. Lord, just use us. Just use me.
I just want to tell you, Brother Aubrey, how much you mean to me. And I
my life. They really have. I began to really study the Bible back when you first started. Now that I do it every day, no. But they sent many messages that the Lord needed me to hear. And I walk a little closer to Him because of you. And I thank you for that. I truly do. I thank my Lord that He brought you here. I think you're great for this church. I think the Lord's got big things for this church in mind. We just got to be at work. We got to be doing. It's just so easy to get caught up in the world and not find the time to do the things He wants us to. I thank God for saving my soul too, because without that, none of this would be possible.
Know that soul being saved adds a reality to God, doesn't it? It puts God in reality. Without that, He's just a fictional character. He's just someone that you read about in a book. That Spirit makes it reality. Something on someone else's heart. And I certainly appreciate your testimony. Bless you. It's been certainly good to have you. Something on someone else's heart.
Brother Armour, I want to thank God for saving my soul. Started coming to church out here with Sister Cal. She's my cousin. Then I started going out to Old Pass with Brother Schneider. And if it hadn't forbidden Brother Snyder telling me what was keeping me from getting saved, I wouldn't be where I am today. I didn't realize it. I didn't know. And I looked at it. And Brother Jason was there with me when I got saved. And I was on the bench, the altar, for those 2 to 3 minutes. And I came up laughing. That's all I remember. I remember Brother Snotty on this side and Brother Wheely on this side, and I just laughed. And it was such an amazing feeling. And if it hadn't been for those people in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'd still be condemned to hell. So I thank God every day for that. And remember Brother Wheely. He's helping in several revivals in the next coming weeks, so remember him.
Bless you. Appreciate this testimony. Someone else.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I'd like to also thank Him. preached, brother, this week. I think y'all will count out stuff, except I appreciate the sermon we had and the good singing that was provided. The good preaching and just all the keys. Bless you all. May the Lord bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Lord always knows what we need. Someone else.
Mary, I want to thank the Lord for this week. I thoroughly enjoyed the singing, preaching. I love it. And most of all, God's Spirit had really been here. I don't know why I've ever, in the last few years, in the order of God, when did I have this one? Appreciate all the messages. I want to give you that. Appreciate you.
Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else? If not, I'll stand and let's have a handshake. Everybody's kind of sort of got a glum look on their face. Let's just get up and walk around a little bit. Wake up. Try to shake one another's hands.
Third place, number 21. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy
anything else on anyone's heart? be the will of the church concerning the effort? Someone else tonight. Anybody got any thoughts on? Be will of the church to. We've heard one. Is there anybody else wants to speak on whether we close this effort or not? I'll take silence as an answer. We need a motion to do this? Or?
I don't think we've
ever done that.
I just think it's quite great.
All right. And we will consider this effort closed. And Pray for next Sunday. That's the way I feel about it. Pray for next Sunday. All hearts and minds free. All standing.
We'll be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Swindle if he would dismiss us in word of prayer.
Our most kind and all-wise, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, for this day that you've given us, we thank you, Lord, for these services we've been privileged to be a part of, the small part that we were given. We know, Lord, that you do the big things. Thank you, dear Lord, for what we witnessed this week. We thank you, dear Lord, for the one that was saved that we know about. I feel like there are many other good things that come from this meeting, Lord, that may never be told or come to life. I'm so very thankful for this opportunity to be here. I'm thankful to reunite with our brothers and sisters of days past and that joy of love fill up within us once again. Thank you, dear Lord, for our family that was here today. Pray, dear Lord, you would not only save our family, but save all the families about this place. And heal the broken homes. And save their children. Lord, there's just so much I know that you're able to do. Pray, Lord, you bless Faith Church. Bless the pastor. Be with them, dear Lord, continue to walk among them. Lord, that the souls would continue to be saved here. And Lord, I pray that you sustain it, Lord, when you come back. You'll find faith here at this place. Be with us and help us and bless us all and direct our lives, I pray.